And okay, everybody, welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm here on this 9/11. Let me turn my camera on for you real quick, guys. I do realize somebody just tried to call in. I'm sorry. My windows are kind of all over the place. I was just setting this up. I just got home. I wasn't planning on doing a show. And I'm just like, screw it. I'll just go on. I'll talk for a little bit. So whoever that was, if you called in, if you want to call back, I should be able to access the phone now and put you right through. That's 978-435-0006. And let me just try and find my YouTube feed so I can bring the chat back up that I had up. And I think that is going to be right here. Here we go. Okay. So let me just get my windows overlaid here. All right, cool. All right, guys. So it is the anniversary of 9/11. There's probably a million things I could talk about. I'm going to be straight up with you right now. Didn't do no show prep about this, but, you know, I got plenty of 9/11 on my head, and I just wanted to talk about it on this anniversary for about what it is, what it isn't, get some of the feedback on you guys. As a lot of you guys know, I have been exposing 9/11 as a complete media hoax since 2010. Now, before anybody gets all upset about this, I would assume that most people here do know that there were no planes on 9/11. If you don't know that, that's fine. I have shows that'll bring you up to speed on that. And we were all there at some point. We're all there at some point, okay? You know, the problem with 9/11 is like the same thing in a lot of research communities. People will ridicule you and ridicule you without even looking into the facts of what you're saying. So I presented a lot of facts today about, you know, different things. Like, for instance, one of my finer points with 9/11 is, okay, so there's supposedly 3,000 deaths and there's supposedly 50,000 people in the towers is what they tell us, right? So that will leave 47,000 people escaping the towers. Now, the problem with this is, and there's a lot of problems, one of the main problems with this is there isn't one video of these people exiting the towers on 9/11. Not one. Not one. Now, I want you to think about that. I've had some crazy responses by trolls earlier today. Oh, there are videos. I'm going to show you the videos. And, of course, he didn't. He ended up just calling me a fucking moron. And not a real truther. And this guy is just, you know, so full of ego. I put him in his place rather quickly. A couple of facts I want you guys to remember, though, before we go off about talking about the trolls and all that shit, is this is one of my more important points, okay? So we're to believe that 47,000 people died. I mean, if they say 50,000 in the towers, 47,000 people would be escaping. 3,000 would be trapped. Now, let's go back and think about 9/11 for a minute. You guys all recognize the Harley guy, I'm assuming. The Harley guy on 9/11, the man that was planted out in the street. You saw him in my intro, okay? So they go up to him. He says, oh, I was there. I saw both planes, the first plane, then the second plane just reamed into the towers. Then I watched the towers come down mostly due to structural collapse. So let's start with that. You guys would all agree, 9/11 truth is, planers, no planers, people deeper in it like me, I would tend to think you would all agree that the Harley guy was a fraud, right? Now, that means he was an actor, okay? Fox News, Rick Leventhal interviewed him, right? So if they have this controlled actor pushing the official narrative in the street, how many controlled actors do they have, and where do you think that it stops? And then when you listen to these interviews, the thing that Leventhal says, and we have a caller right now. I'm going to put him right through. Hang on. Hopefully it's not a troll, because we do get those. Hey, welcome to Dose of Reality Radio. You're on with Brian Stavely.
Brian.
Who's this?
This is Palawalo.
Oh, what is up, my friend?
I'm so glad you're on. I just want to say to you and to anyone listening, you're one of the pivotal voices for me exploring 9/11 way back in the day when it was all hot and fresh and happening. You're one of the guys there on Jim Fetzer's show and interviewing Fetzer. All the guys, Judy Wood, Ace Baker, Morgan Reynolds, you're one of the kings.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I really do. I'm just trying to spread good information, and, you know, I like to dig deep, and I don't have a filter, and I'm not worried about, you know, I'm not worried about having somebody else have to say this first to verify it for me, or have a documentary come out to verify it for me. I'm going to put my research together and where it takes me, and you know where it's taken me on 9/11. It's taken me further than the No Plans. You know, when you start to look into these victims, I mean, it's just so much more. It's so much deeper.
Yep, absolutely. And you've gone, I mean, that's all years ago when it was hot, and you've gone beyond that into everything from the Mandela effect and flat earth. And I mean, it's great. And, you know, we've texted sometimes, and I'm just, I was so psyched when I saw you were coming online. So I just, I was banging your phone down. Sorry about that.
No, I don't mind at all. And actually, dude, I went to my friends for a little bit. I was going to go online earlier, then I went to my friends. I just walked in the door. I seen your message. You going to go on tonight or what? This is like 10 minutes ago. I'm like, screw it. I'll set it up. I'll go on tonight. Didn't have nothing planned, but, you know, obviously dealt with a lot of comments, a lot of trolls, positive feedback as well. A lot of stuff went on online after I got out of work. I'd like to talk about some of that, but I'd also like to talk about some of 9/11 and what it is and what it isn't. And, you know, why it's so important to not stop at the, it's a 9/11 inside job. It's Tower 7. It's not Muslims, because it's so much deeper than that. Because, okay, you know, yeah, I get it. The same motive gets pushed in a lot of ways as far as the foreign wars. And I'm not going to say what I know is legit as far as the wars and what isn't, how much is real, how much isn't. I don't know. You know what I mean? But, you know, something bad has happened from 9/11, whether people died in New York or not. We went to other countries, installed our banks, all that type of stuff, you know? You know, but the other the thing is with 9/11 is what they use in the media today. And this doesn't just go for 9/11. This just goes for Sandy Hook. This goes for all types of fear propaganda that they use. They want to keep us in a constant state of fear, because when we're in a constant state of fear, that's when we can't make good decisions. That's when we're not worried about doing the things that we could be doing to better our lives, to have a higher spiritual connection, because we're all worried about, oh, terrorists are going to blow us up in an airport, or people are going to shoot our kids at a fucking school, you know? And that's where the stuff needs to end. That's where it needs to end. And that's why back in the day, like 2010, you know, when I first started talking about No Planes, you know, it's so frowned upon. That's what, it's such a key thing, this 9/11 thing and the No Planes, because the No Planes is what made me realize in the whole gatekeeping agenda by Alex Jones and all these other people in the alternative media, because like you, I don't, maybe not like you, I shouldn't speak for you, but for me and for many others, when you first go through your first level of awakening or whatever, let's say you first break that, okay, the government's probably lying to me about a lot of stuff, if not everything, the medical system, the education system, and the media. Once you start to realize all that, you know, everything starts to break down. Then, you know, because 9/11 brought me to that, and you realize 9/11 is an inside job, but they still have that fear over you. Because the thing with 9/11, Paulo, it's, you know, they don't care if you believe in 19, they, preferably, they want you to believe in the official 19, you know, Muslims that terrorists hijackers. But if you're not going to, if you're going to get past that, they have this whole web set up where they don't care if you believe in Judy Wood. They don't care if you believe in mini nukes with Dmitry Kalasov. They don't care if you believe in, you know, thermite. They don't care if you believe in other types of explosives planted in there. They don't care about space. As long as what you believe in has a couple of points. It pushes the narrative that 3,000 or close to 3,000 people died, okay? And it pushes the – what it does is they want to push the mainstream. They want to protect the mainstream. So if you were to come out and prove that there are no planes, then what happens? And then I'm going to get into my argument with Fetzer too. Because if you come out and realize that there's no planes, well, you might do what I did and say, okay, well, if the planes were fake – where does the fakery stop? And that's where it really brings you to the things that they don't want you to know. And it exposes the media, because if there's CGI planes in the footage, right, that means the media is 100% complicit. So any of their other bullshit that they're pushing, hopefully it'll trigger in your head, well, everything else they're saying, it can't be valid, or at least has to be looked at with great scrutiny. You know, like one of the, I think the second call I had with Fetzer, he wanted to bring up the idea that it was holograms. And there was just so many ways to debunk it, because the different trajectories, they should all match if they're all filming the same hologram. And then I just started to ask him, how was this done in the crowded New York City skyline? Oh, it was thrown from another jet that was, I said, where was this other jet? He had a number. He said 1,500 meters to the right. And it was stealth and cloaked. I said, like a Klingon vessel? And then he started like laughing, oh, like a Klingon vessel, you know, this technology and this and that. I'm like, but you're telling me a stealth cloaked plane that nobody saw or heard was throwing a projection in the most crowded skyline? Like, it doesn't even make any sense. But the underlying issue to that is, it's not even about disagreeing with me. If you think about it, right, a CGI as opposed to a hologram, a lot of people don't see the big difference because it's media fakery. But not really, because if there's a CGI in the news footage, right, that means the media put it there. They're complicit.
Now, right.
If there's a hologram in the sky, who put it there? Probably the military, right?
Right.
Now, that would let the media off the hook, because they could just say they filmed what they saw in the sky like everybody else, and they thought it was legit.
Very interesting. Yep.
And that's why I think that whole hologram theory is out there. It really is. It really, 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 really is. And, the other thing I wanted to speak about tonight is all these people, you know, and I can deal with this, been going on for years, but all these people really coming at me. And I posted, I'm in one Mandela group, for instance, and I never post off topic, okay? Ever, ever, ever. Because I just know the reaction I'll get. If I post a flat earth or 9/11, whatever it is, I'm going to get a crazy reaction. But, you know, all these other people are constantly posting off topic. And, you know, they're always tagging me, and they'll be pro-NASA posts and all this. So I'll give my comment on how I feel. I won't be rude to nobody, and it's always a problem. Everybody else can make comments, but because their comments aren't very insightful and they haven't done their research, and it's just like, oh, yeah, they all agree with it, you know? And it's like that in a lot of groups. And you have all these people that are calling me disrespectful all day. How are you going to disrespect? Dude, if I could tell you how many people today told me that they had like an uncle who had a cousin, not just the normal, I had an uncle that had a cousin that was there, blah, blah, blah. I had an uncle that had a cousin that was pulling burning bodies out of the debris pile. I've heard this like 15 times today. And now it's to the point, I used to be nice about it, but I know they're so full of shit. I'm just straight up calling them liars. I'm like, so we're going to come on here and talk, and you're just going to lie to my face and call me names. So I said, who are your relatives that you lost? Oh, I don't need to tell you that. It's none of your business. It's because you're just making shit up, dude. And it's the emotional attachment. It's the emotional attachment of the vent, you know?
Yeah. It's really strange, because it's such a powerful event, but there's so much information about it that if people are really curious about it and really wanted to understand what this event was about, they could spend a little time to watch the links you share, or that other people have shared, or that's on YouTube or anywhere you want. People don't really want to, they want to have a strong opinion, but they don't want to earn it. You know, they just want to believe what they want to believe. It's very disheartening, I think.
Well, it is very disheartening, and not only do they not want to earn it, it's like, okay, back in 2010 when I first exposed this hoax, it was like, sure, there were always people that laid groundwork before every generation of people that come along as far as resources, but back then, there wasn't all this stuff putting it together. I had to put this all together and kind of make it an easy present format for everybody to see, and these people...
Absolutely.
Yeah. And these people will ridicule me, but they're not even looking at my work. And I just know if they would just get through at least one video of me explaining it, they'd get to the second one. And I don't expect them to have the same beliefs as me, but at least give me the respect of looking into it, you know? And what really irks me now too is like, cause you know, I'm in the different communities like we talk. It's like, I try and tell people that are telling, you know, they'll go around and they're right. They're telling everybody all the pictures from space are fake and the pictures of Earth are fake and this and that. You tell these same pictures. Well, you tell these same people, did you ever think the imagery from 9/11 is fake? And then I'm fucking crazy. It's like, it's the same thing. Yeah. NASA, NIST, these are all the same entities enslaving humanity and deceiving us all and pulling these psychological operations. The Apollo moon hoax, JFK, 9/11, you don't think these things are interwoven like this? This is all – I wouldn't be surprised if some of these plans were written at the same time. Hey, we'll do this one in 30 years. We'll do this one in 70 years. You know what I mean?
I do. And I have a comment about that and a question for you. The comment is, see, you actually suffer this situation more than I do or any most of your listeners do, because you've put in so much productive, proactive work to put this stuff together that when people don't listen to it or pay attention to it, or if they just blindly ridicule it, it's, you know, it's hard because you've put in so much work. See, I'm not a producer. I'm a listener. And I'm a beneficiary of your work. So when all that happens, it breaks my heart. And when I try to talk to people about it and they're like blind evidence, it's very frustrating. But I don't suffer it the same way you do, because you've put in so much time and energy actually putting the arguments together, the evidence together. And to do that and have it be like ridiculed by trolls or, you know, it's very, I can't even imagine how painful that is, because it's bad enough when you just try to tell a friend of yours, hey, yeah, you know, can we think about these things? Like, why don't you watch this video by Brian Stavely? And they just don't even give a shit, but they want to care a lot. Like, they care enough to yell at you if you bring, not you personally, but like me in this situation, they care enough to yell at me for bringing up like your conspiracy theories, whatever. But they don't care enough to actually watch anything to see if their own judgment of the event is correct, right? Isn't that weird? How people? I don't know. I don't do that. Like, I don't know a lot about football, so I don't go into sports bars and hear people talk about like the Ravens or the Steelers and then butt my face in and say, hey, you know, the Ravens are the greatest players ever. Well, because that would be retarded.
Yeah.
Because I don't know any shit thing about football, but everyone wants to do this shit about sorry, I don't mean to use language, but everyone wants to do that sort of thing with 9/11 or JFK or Flat Earth, all these other things. They want to feel like they're experts, but they don't really care.
They don't know anything. And the crazy part about it is these are the same people that will call me ignorant, and it's like they define ignorance, because you're going to call me ignorant when I know your 9/11 official story in and out way more than you could ever imagine. I know the other side and every side in between. I know your globe model way better than you know, but I know this side. But I believed what you believe. I was willing to admit I was either misled or I was wrong or I was foolish, and now I moved on to it. You are only looking at the side you are taught. You don't even understand it, and you just parrot it. Who is the ignorant one here? It's not me.
That's exactly right. And that is a point I try to make with friends or family or anyone I try to share ideas with that are contrary to the normal stuff is I explain to them from the beginning, look, I went to the same schools as you, grew up in the same neighborhood. I watched the same movies. I know the earth is supposed to be round. And, you know, or whatever the case may be, I already know your point of view. If you're going to ask me, why don't we fall off the edge, or, you know, there's gravity, I already know that because I did all that stuff. I'm trying to share with you a different point of view that takes you out of that and has completely different explanations for all these phenomena. And, you know, every one out of 100 people might say, kind of interesting. What do you mean by that? And they'll ask for more information or sources. But you know what? This is why I'm saying, you know, you must suffer greatly from this, because the other 99%, they don't want any of that shit. They're even if they want to flatter themselves that they're open-minded or whatever, they're just lying. They're just listening to you so that at the end of the day, they can say, CNN told me this, and that's the truth.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you
I mean,
get
doesn't
all
that
people
just like stab you in the heart after you invest all this time?
Yeah,
shit, it does me.
Well, somebody in the chats right now, he asked a question. He said his name's Aaron, begins with a K. He wrote, no plane, sure, but no deaths. Where's your evidence research? I'm open and certainly not a liar. Only two more comments go by, right, in the Facebook comment. And then he's like, I'll just guess I'll do my own research. Guy, we opened the show 10 minutes ago. Like, stick around. You'll get an explanation. And if you want an explanation now and bounce, just click on the tab on the left side of my YouTube channel here and go to my all 9/11 shows, and I will literally walk you through from 2010 in chronological order all my shows up until now, okay? It's not like I'm trying to avoid walking you through this hoax. If you think you're going to tune in for 10 minutes and within 12 minutes you're going to understand all this, or you're just going to sign off, well then, dude, you're not researching shit. Okay, and I'm not even telling you to believe me. I'm going to make some facts that I don't think you can dispute. And you're just going to ignore these facts, and you're going to say, well, what about this? I saw a fireman talking about he pulled his body. Well, let me lay this out, okay? Now, and I know most of the people here are going to know no planes, but I'm going to make the point anyways to start with. So the story goes, there's 52 amateurs that catch an off course. We're talking about Flight 175, second plane, CNN. CNN, South Tower, second plane, right? Herzakani shot. So they're talking about, you know, 52 amateurs supposedly caught this off-court unexpected jet in the most crowded skyline in New York. Now, as absurd as that is, right, all 52 people, none of them filmed down to the street to film the chaos below, where since 3,000 got trapped, that would leave 47,000 people escaping the towers until the time that they collapse. Now, we also know, and I don't believe they were really there, but we also know that Fox News and other media, since they're in their own backyard, they were there interviewing people like the Harley guy, a staged interview, and other street interviews, okay? So they're doing street interviews outside the towers. They are totally in place. And you're telling me not one of these cameramen for all the major media organizations in their own backyard has any video of the 47,000 people fleeing the street. And then we'll bring it up another notch. We're also told there's four news helicopters plus whatever choppers would be up there, police, FBI, or maybe they had it sealed up. I don't know. I know there weren't four news choppers, and we can get into debunking their footage later. But the four news choppers, if they're really up there, why didn't any of them pan down to the chaos in the street? We're not just talking a little event. We're talking about the Pulitzer Prize-winning shot of all time, the most dramatic video of all time. Even if there were barricades, every reporter would fight to fucking get past that barricade and get that shot. And those shots, they don't exist.
I don't know when it was you first made that point, but I remember first hearing it and thinking, Ryan is exactly right, because just think of the Time magazine cover of the, you know, like 100 people pouring out of the exits of world. You know, there's no shots of it. I never thought of it until you brought it up whenever it was you first did, but it's completely true. There are no shots of it.
None. No.
There's people with like dust on their face, like, 8 blocks away.
Where
are the people pouring out of the buildings as they're crashing? That's the fucking shot.
Yeah.
And it's not there.
It doesn't exist. And then you want to take it further than that. And this is stuff that people argue about me and call me an idiot, but I know they haven't even looked into these records. And I have. I've scoured through them. Okay. And they'll just lie, and they'll be like, oh, you're lying. And do you know that out of the 2,996 alleged dead, there's over, and I'm not saying there's 2,500, I'm saying there's 400. There's only about 2,500 death certificates. They didn't even bother to make it for the whole lot of people. And then on top of that, okay, let's say 9/11 happens, right? And, you know, a wife loses her husband and he works in the World Trade Center, right? Chances are, since it's the financial district, the most expensive real estate in America, I think, I could be wrong, but that part of Manhattan is extremely expensive. If you're working there, you're making a ton of dough. If you work in WTC, you're making a ton of dough. You're probably the breadwinner for your family. You might have a two-family income, but you're probably the main breadwinner for your family. So you're telling me that a terrorist attack is going to happen. Your whole family, your family's going to lose their income. They're going to lose their loved one. The government's going to offer you $2.3 million plus for each family in the victim compensation fund, and only 59 families out of 2,996 are going going to pick up their free $2 million, the next day that that money's available, every fucking family would be down there to pick it up. And I want to hear it's morally wrong or they didn't like the government. You just lost your loved one. You're going to be hurting for money, and the government's going to give you a free check for millions of dollars. Dude, nobody's turning it down.
To think it is to laugh. It's incomprehensible. I was just telling someone this the other night, and to be honest, I don't fancy myself an expert on 80% of this. Like there's some things I know more about than others, but yeah. The fact that these victims are not accessing this money. Like I tell it to people all the time, and it's incomprehensible. Exactly what you just said is completely right. It doesn't matter but I think you reference like they might be their pride might be affected or whatever. They don't want to, man, if your breadwinner is people like apply for fake money or not fake money, but money for tragedies all the time. And in this case, it's supposed to be real and they're still not doing it. Yeah. What I was trying to compare it to is like a fraudulent, like a lawsuit, you know, like someone hits your car or you hit their car or whatever. People are always, it's absurd to think that people could be dying from this tragedy and have this access to money and no one's applying for it. And you know, this whole aspect is something that I'm not an expert in, but I just appeal to the work you've done and posted. And I don't know if it's all your work or if it's work other folks done, but the like all the victim photos where it's all Photoshop. You have the same picture of someone, they have an arm around them in one picture, a vase behind them in another.
Yeah.
It's so phony. It's totally ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And for those that don't know what we're talking about, and I will try and do some screen shares in a little bit. Sometimes when I do the screen shares, it's a bit slow, but we'll get to it. And what he's talking about is, okay, basically, and there are more than two, you know, just before somebody tries and, oh, this kid only said this two, no, but there's two major 9/11 memorials. One of them is the Voices of September Memorial, and one of them is the CNN Memorial. And what they have done is if you look and you look at somebody's picture in one and you look at it in the other, it's the exact same picture. But the problem is they're Photoshopped one, at least one, if not both. It's Photoshopped where they will literally Photoshop out a loved one that's given the person that supposedly died a hug, Photoshopped it out, put it in the other memorial, and represent it as real. Now, let me ask you this, because the answers I get are crazy. One person told me, oh, they were just taking out the distracting things in the photo. I said, dude, when would it ever be allowed, and how disrespectful would it be if your loved one died, and then you've seen their picture in the memorial, and you were notably Photoshopped out of it because they thought you were too distracting?
I mean, that's why I laughed when you said it's totally ridiculous.
It's totally ridiculous.
Well, and this that's the way it is, man. The thing is, though, the problem you face and that I face, or that anyone who tries to advocate for just a semblance of reason when it comes to these things, is that our opponents, or the people we're trying to, it's hard for me to come to grips with this. Most people do not give a shit about the truth of the situation. Like, if they talk to us at all, it's just to flatter themselves that they're open-minded. Like, at the end of the day, look, I'm on Facebook and I have these private pages where I invite smart friends of mine to entertain. Like Aristotle said, you know, the mark of an educated mind is to be able to entertain an idea without accepting it. And I push that on folks. I'm like, look, just listen to some of these things. You don't have to accept it. Just see if it's interesting or not. And I tell you, after over a year, I closed down a page. I was like, all right, I've been doing this. And I asked the group, has anyone here been converted to any? Has anyone changed their mind about any pivotal event? And every single person said no. And that's impossible because look, who would know? If you're talking to someone who, all right, let's just use a ridiculous example, like the moon landing. If you're talking to someone who's just like, yeah, we landed on the moon because I know we did. That's what I learned. And then you start showing them things like a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, or you start showing them the evidence that, whether it's a Van Allen belt or there is no space, or, you know, the contradictories of gravity, any of this stuff. And at the end of it, they're just like, yeah, well, that's interesting. But yeah, we landed on the moon. These people are not really interested.
No, they're not really interested. And to think we landed on the moon, I mean, you know that hoax. You look at that for a week, that's nothing like 9/11. I mean, 9/11
but
takes
years
and years.
But everyone still believes it. That, I use that example because to me, that's like the epitome of absurdity. But everyone, I tell you, 90% of the people I deal with, they still believe it, man. And it's as stupid as it is.
Well, it's a good relation because you know why? One of the things people will say is, people older than my generation, obviously, when I tell you why. So if you say to them, oh, it's the moon landing, well, I saw it on TV. Well, these are the same people that will tell you the 9/11 jump isn't real. They saw it on TV. Or the planes are real. They saw it on TV. People, TV is not fucking reality. When are you going to realize that? And then when I start to show people things like Photoshop jumpers of the jumpers, and it gets much cheaper. It's like if they Photoshopped any of the jumpers, well, then the jumpers aren't real. And then it's like you got people like Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know Neil deGrasse Tyson, who we know is a huge fraud, right? So that Neil deGrasse Tyson claims to have been in New York when the towers were hit, saw both planes, and he filmed four jumpers jumping. But of course, we've never seen Neil deGrasse's footage. You know, where is that footage?
Total bullshit. I've never heard him say that, but that's obviously total horseshit.
Obviously bullshit. And then you have to look deeper, and people, they're not going to go look into the schematics of the buildings like I did, and the vacant floors and the occupants reports and all this. They're just going to tell you, Brian, you're crazy. Those buildings were bustling. Let me tell you something. It was well documented that in the mid-90s, you can read a piece by Eric Dotton, who I have up on my website. I forget the exact name, the title of it, but it's about the vacancy of the towers, how they started moving all the companies out. And that it was a lot because the Port Authority was moving them out because the issues with the building. But it was also because of the 1993 bombing was the perfect scare to scare people out of being in that high-rise World Trade Center. So they didn't all have a mass exodus. They had 8 years to get people out, and they didn't get everybody out. And, yeah, I know you guys live in New York, some of you. You've been to the towers. You've been to the observation deck. You've been to the Windows on the World restaurant. I get that shit. That doesn't mean that all those floors in between are occupied. And I can clearly show you many cases where they weren't. And you were going to say, people are going to say, oh, well, you know, why did the attacks happen at 843 or 847, the first one? It was 840-something. And it's like, because I used to always wonder this. I'm like, most office buildings, I know some are 8, but most don't really get bustled until 9, 9:30. You would figure maximum casualty, let's hit it a little later, you know, maybe 10:30. 11 o'clock before lunch or whatever. And why did they hit it at 8:45? Well, they hit it at 8:45-ish because that's when the tourist attractions opened 15 to 45 minutes later on the roof. So what happens if you hit the towers at 10 o'clock, right? I come strolling around, right? Here I come. I'm a regular New York tourist, right? Oh, I want to go to the observation deck. Oh, no, you can't go. You can't go. We're turning you around. So that's why they hit it so early, because they hit it early. Nobody's going to show up. Nobody's going to need to be turned around at all. It's not going to be anything suspicious. And they took people up to – those are real tourist attractions. This is where it gets better. They took people up and down, okay? Up and down, up and down. You can there's a subway that let off a few hundred thousand people a day in the lobby. Now, a few hundred thousand people a day coming through the lobby of a building, going up and down elevators and coming in and out all day, what's that going to look like to everybody else? It's going to look like a busy office building.
Yeah, it is.
And not only that, what are people in the financial district taking the subway going to look like? They're going to be dressed very much like World Trade Center workers would be dressed. And this is how they pulled off a lot of this illusion. Like, for instance, they close the Verrazano Bridge and just left the George Washington open, or vice versa. They closed one of the two to force all the foot traffic across one to make it look like it was this mass exodus out of New York because of a terror attack. So these people supposedly coming from the towers, and you look at them, and half of them got Macy's shopping bags and all this shit because they were down on Fifth Avenue shopping. All they did was restrict their access and make two bridges worth of traffic go over one bridge. And then you got the, you got, and people like, what about the families? Somebody asked earlier, oh, so what about the families? Blah, 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 blah. The families aren't real. So these families all supposedly came to New York, and they all supposedly put up these random missing posters of their loved ones. They just showed up, put them up. They're all in alphabetical order. They didn't just randomly put that up. This was pre-staged, prefabricated. And, and one of my main points, too, is people want to say, okay, well, they can't fake killing 3,000 deaths. This is one of my main points, right? How are you going to fake kill 3,000 people? That's so hard to do. No, really killing 3,000 people would be harder. Their only argument is, well, the government doesn't care about us. And I know they don't care about us, but they care about keeping their agenda going, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're interested in murdering masses of us because we are their slaves in their system. We work their system for them, especially these fucking number crunchers in New York. They're doing their dirty deeds, even though most of them don't realize it, okay? They don't want to wipe us out like that, and it doesn't make sense because – let's lay this out right here, right? Let me get a drink of my water. Okay, let's use a nice even number like 100, okay? Obviously, the number would be much higher. Easy number, 100. Let's say you need 100 field agents. Never mind George Bush, Rumsfeld, whoever these people you want to call Illuminati, whatever. I'm not doubting that they're up there. They're elite. They'll be in the know, okay? But we're going to talk about FBI agents, CIA, FBI. I'm going to say something that's going to piss a lot of people off, but it's true. Most people in this world are good people. They're good-meaning people. They're not evil people. Whether you like the government or not, I hate the government, but you're going to tell me every FBI agent in New York or New York State and all these people, are you going to tell me that if not George Bush personally, but a George Bush type approaches them and says, you know, a CIA guy or whatever, and says, hey, this is the operation we're going to do. We're going to compensate you really well. We're going to give your family X, Y, and Z, house, retirement, whatever, right? But 3,000 Americans are going to die, including cops and firefighters in New York City, and you're going to be involved in it, right? Now, I would say the percentage of those field agents and everything that go along with it, right, would be 5% or less. Now, let's take away this. Let's say you guys are going to get compensated. We'll get you a house, your family. You guys are good. Retirement, job for life. We're going to guarantee you that nobody, as fucked up as it is, people overseas get hurt. We're going to guarantee you nobody gets hurt, right? Now that 5% goes up to about how high? 60%? 70%?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And what else does that do? It does two other things. It takes away having to worry about – there will still be guilt on some people, but the guilty conscience that all these people would have to wear seeing fucking 3,000 Americans get crushed in those fucking towers, they're not going to be able to live with it. And so many of them are going to come out and talk about it. It's going to be a mess for the government to clean up because whether they have to make these people disappear, kill them, or find a way to silence them, they're going to have to deal with that. And it gets even worse because if you really kill 3,000 people, you got to deal with 3,000 really angry families, not actors like Bob McElvain, Donna Marsh, and all these other frauds. So what makes more sense? Faking killing 3,000 or killing 3,000? You fake it. Well, just like these other events after. And I know they came after Sandy Hook and all these obvious ones, but I knew this was a hoax before Sandy Hook. I don't need Sandy Hook to go back and look at this. I've been trying to tell people this since 2010. Well,
just look at it like this, Bri. This maps up against what you just said completely. And this is going to go back a little bit and make, you know, most of the people listening to you are probably already understand there's no planes and stuff, but just to put it in perspective. So you have a couple different variations if you're going to do this plan, right? So there's like the let it happen on purpose, made it happen on purpose, and then various. So the problem with the let it happen on purpose is so if the government wants this shit, it's sort of like with the Oklahoma City bombing, right?
Yep.
They we might not be on the same page with this, but I'm just let me run with this thesis, and then you can clobber it as much as you want.
Yep.
With Timothy McVeigh, the idea was, at least from the book I read, American Terrorist, was he was dealing with all these people. They knew he was going to do this shit, and they let him do it, right? They let it all happen, and they loaded the building up with all these explosives so that when he detonated his ammonium nitrate thing in a truck, it would blow the whole building apart, even though, according to some folks, that wouldn't have happened unless there were other bombs in the building, right? So they let it happen on purpose. They had a guy, they just let him do his thing. But in this case, if they loaded those buildings up with all these explosives and they were just going to let it happen on purpose, hoping
it's gonna be so uncontrolled, there'd be too many yep. variables. They would never be able to control it the way they want to.
Right, because it would be dependent on these idiots who can't fly Cessnas to fly these planes into the building, not miss the buildings, not crash into the New York River, and all that. So, I mean, all right, so that just shows that the let it happen on purpose doesn't really work, because you can't rely on these people to actually hit the buildings, which would give you the reason to detonate them. So made it happen on purpose. Okay. So maybe you're remote controlling them, or you're paying expert pilots, or you're built, you know, whatever the in plain sight theory, it's military planes. Even that, if the planes don't make their, the best argument for no planes and that it was CGI is that the only way you could ensure from the start that there wouldn't be any problems is if you just blow the fucking buildings up and insert planes to give you the excuse for why they fell, right? I mean, it's just kind of a matter. The connection I'm trying to make is with the people in the buildings that you're talking about. If you have to account for 3,000 deaths, that's a big responsibility. If you don't, if the buildings are empty and you detonate those buildings and then you just have names out there, that's way easier to deal with, right? I mean,
it's way easier. Then the thing is, the other thing that people want to say is they're like, oh, well, so what do you think? They just took and relocated 3,000 people. No, the 3,000 people were just fictitious to begin with. That's why you're not having to deal with 3,000 families. That's why even if the 3,000 families enter on it, you don't have to worry about them slipping up. And that's why you don't have to relocate 3,000 people, because you just made up fictitious identities.
Yeah, that's right. So let me ask you this, because this is just sort of off the top of my head. So there's a handful of truth movement folks and stuff that that seem to be motivated by the deaths of relatives. Do you think that was there a number of folks who were just like collateral damage, or is it all? Do you think even all those families are just?
I think
just,
all
of
those families.
Fabricated.
Even if you kill 12 families, you're going to open a can of worms that's just so big that you don't want to get into. And just think. Never mind all just the agents. Just think about like anybody that knew that all these people were in on it.
These
12 families weren't. No, they're not going to do that.
An interesting thing today. Because it was 9/11, I watched just a handful of videos from the past, right? Like, I mean, in a way, I hate to say it because this sounds morbid or whatever, this isn't going to sound right. But there's a certain part of me that really revels in the time when I first encountered all this and was researching it, because as you've mentioned in a number of your podcasts, once you get into this stuff, man, if you're serious about it, you can't let it go. You've got to just watch and watch and learn and learn. And, you know, you're watching Judy Wood and then Ace Baker and then Jim Fetzer and Morgan Reynolds. It's, you can't let it go. If you're serious about it, you got to make sense of it all. And I watched some of it, some old videos today, and there was a clip of John Lear, you know, the heir to the Lear throne. And he is discredited a bit because he talks about, like, you know, stuff on the moon and such.
Yeah.
But apart from that, the guy is an expert aviator. He knows what he's talking about in terms of, you know, flight and all this stuff. And in one of the videos, he not only said that there were no planes, but he said in the video clearly, but it wasn't emphasized in the video, there were no people in the towers.
Yeah.
Man, and I was like, wow, that's Stavely, that, you know, because you know, there are different levels of this. You can go into, like, there CGI planes, like the Ace Baker, and then there's, you know, more. It's not just CGI planes. Everything we've seen is CGI. Or, you know, there's nobody who died. You know, Ace Baker and guys like Infetzer and stuff assumed 3,000 people died in the towers. It was just the planes and stuff. It gets really deep and wild.
Well, it does and, really when he, deep and wild.
Yeah, when he said there was no one in the towers, I thought of you and, you know, other folks who take that step.
Yeah, and then, you know, back when I was first doing it, I mean, there was like a handful of people in the whole world I could talk to about it. I mean, literally, there was like five or six of us, dude. Nobody wanted to talk to us about nobody dying in the towers. Like, but it's like, dude, I'm going to emphasize it again. You know I already said it, but New York City is the media capital of the world. And we're not saying they were rushing to get there and missed the shot. They were given street interviews, and it took the towers over an hour to come down. Where is their video of all the people? Where is it? Where is it? You see people in streets with dust clouds and all that, but you don't see anybody coming out the World Trade Center at all. Nobody. None of it. None of it. None of it.
It's completely true. Completely true. So... one, I have two questions for you, and these are kind of out of, and I don't, you probably have a bunch of calls or whatever. I don't want to.
No, I don't.
Hold
I just threw,
up.
The sh- I threw the show
one
together
is,
in 5 minutes. Go ahead.
What? Okay. All right. So, one is, it's just awesome to talk to you because you were in the thick of all this stuff. You had interviews with Judy Wood, Jim Fetzer, Ace Baker. All, you know, you've talked to all these. You know, I don't know if people who are just listening now who weren't into it then realize how in the whole throw of it all you were back then. Simon Schacht, all these theories, because there's, you know, there's a whole scattering of theories, and you were in the mix of it then, talking to all these people. And I don't know what's going on with folks now. I don't know where Jim Fetzer is. I don't know what Judy Wood is doing, or Stephen Jones. Whatever happened to the thermite guy? Is this guy just like teaching physics classes now? Is it all over? What did he do today? It's 9/11 anniversary. What did Stephen Jones do today? I don't know. There's nothing on YouTube I could find. Do you know?
No, I haven't heard anything about Stephen Jones lately at all. Not in years. I stopped paying attention to them years ago because I knew what the architects and engineers and all these guys are about. Once I got through the whole Fetzer thing and I saw what he was about, and then, you know, him supporting people like Scott Forbes and these other people, I mean, it just became a joke, you know? And it's just like, wow, this is really...
It did!
Yeah.
It's so really, what?
And, you know, he's supposed to be...
What the hell happened, man?
Well,
I remember the whole Scott Forbes thing. He's like, I believe Scott Forbes. All this other evidence, I don't give a shit. Scott Forbes, I think, is good testimony. What the hell, man?
Yeah, and Scott Forbes is the same one that said there was a power down on the weekend before the towers got hit. And then there was a music video by Brian Adams shot, like, where you could see the World Trade Center lit behind him, shot on that weekend. Like, it's just total nonsense. Total nonsense. And the view that he said he could have had from his apartment, he could have never had, you know? He could have never had. It's just
that's
ridiculous.
My question, I guess. I mean, was it all just total horse shit? I mean, was Jim Fetzer just like, I don't know, getting listeners to his podcast or what? Because it just seemed like it was all so serious. And then it just disappeared and went into holograms.
Yeah, I was on the fence with him for a while. Me and James and Justin talked about it. They were probably leaning towards him being a little more controlled than I was. I was willing to give him the benefit of doubt because he came on. And then he invited me on a show. But once he went off on all the hologram shit, and then I don't know if you heard the third show I did with him, but the third show I did with him was absolutely ridiculous because this was the third of three meetings. He's heard me present the video Vagary probably as good as he's heard anybody present it. And he even invited me on his show just to talk about it. The third show comes up, and so we asked him some questions. It was me, James, Justin, and I think Chris Kendall was in on the call with us, and we had a couple other callers call in. And he was like, so we would ask him, hey, Jim, what about, you think about what do you think about the towers and the victims? Oh, well, I'm not an expert on the towers and the victims. So we asked him about the passengers on the alleged planes. I'm not an expert on the passengers alleged planes. And then somebody asked him, well, what about all the CGI that Brian Stavely and Simon Shack have been showing you? And then he turns around to me and he says, Brian, that's your expertise. You know, I'm not an expert on the CGI. And I'm just thinking, well, what the fuck are you an expert on? But not only that, I didn't ask if you were expert. I just want your opinion on these things. And you're coming on my show, not even giving me a fucking opinion and playing the ignorant card when we've talked about this for 7 hours in two different interviews, dude.
I know. Look, I was a listener to all that stuff, and I just watched it all devolve from a guy who would, I'm a professor emeritus in the philosophy of science and logic and all this stuff, and, he had so many good shows, and then it all just started deconstructing or coming apart. He was ignoring arguments that I heard him listen to people in previous shows. Yeah, I mean, the whole, hologram stuff just started getting retarded as shit. And yeah. And I just kept, what? Why? What? Is he really being led by the truth, by the logic and the arguments for this or what? I don't know. That's when I kind of threw my hands up at a certain point and I was like, I don't know what these fuckers are doing anymore. I mean, I bought the books. I listened to the radios. It's now 17 years later. Man. Shit, man.
17 years later, and I still have people going around telling me it was Judy Woods' directed energy weapon. I'm like, well, you just listen to the calls I had with her. Like, you don't even need to know the whole backstory. You don't need to know my research. Like, just listen to what I say to her and listen to her answers. Like, she's totally obfuscating anything. They're belittling me. They're muting me. And then at the end of the show, they literally took my home address and phone number, put it on the internet, and told people to go get me for my views on 9/11. For my questions.
Well, good God. God, I didn't know the latter happened, but I heard the former stuff happen in real time. And so what's she doing now? Like, what did she do today? Is she at some college just, teaching mechanical engineering or – Is she still with John Hutchinson?
I don't know. I don't know.
What the hell is happening?
I called her Judy. Don't call her Judy. You're belittling her like a sixth grader, she said. And then as soon as I got off the phone with him, you know what the next caller said? He said, hi, Judy. And they said, hi. I'm like, just anything to fucking shit on me for, And it was a long road. I went through all these steps to 9/11. Everything I thought, 4 or 5 years ago, after getting a few years through it, getting through the no planes and all that, I still believe everything I believed 4 or 5 years ago. I think the only thing I changed my mind on was about the whole Israeli art students and the jumpers. I don't believe anybody was in there throwing anything out any windows. It was just CGI. That was one mistake I made early on before I realized how much CGI and how much less physicalness was going on. And you know what happens? Like I say about all these topics all the time, let's put our opinions out there. And, we've been lied to so much, we're going to be right more than we're wrong. These people are lying to us. If we're fucking wrong about something, we'll admit it, we'll correct it, and we'll move on. And that's what I did. It was a small mistake. And we're past that. You know what I mean? It's not a big deal. And then, today, for the jumpers, let's talk about the jumpers for a minute because people were attacking me. oh, you're an idiot, you're a fucking moron, you're a troll, you don't know anything about 9, and I'm like, oh, here we go. And I'm not going to sit here and toot my horn, but these people don't, they don't know shit, you know? So he's posting the pictures of the half-size fucking windows with people squeezing out, and he's like, these are the jumpers, this is proof. So then I came out with all my images and said, well, wait a minute, this is a stage set of the World Trade Center, because the real World Trade Center, first of all, it wasn't this color. Second of all, the windows were all 7 feet tall. Nobody's squeezing out of them, and nobody's opening them because they're fucking shatterproof. And it's just like, then they just clam up. Oh, well, they said to me, well, we don't want your stills. We want live video of it. And I'm just like, dude, no matter what I give you, you're going to come with this bullshit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's exactly the problem with the whole thing is you can – argue till you're blue in the face. You can present them with anything you want. If it contradicts the conclusions that they're already determined they're going to come to, you know, it's over. Why this stuff is so, like, weird, you know? I don't know. I feel like when I was first into this stuff, you know, I remember first encountering no planes. You know, because you go for a long time, you're like, all right, it was an inside job, and, you know, we had all kinds of motivation.
Tower 7, inside job, Bush took down the towers.
Yeah, right. You know, made it happen, let it happen, all this shit. And then all of a sudden, it's sort of like, a part of, I don't know how much you like Ace Baker or whatever, and it doesn't matter, but he has that he has a chapter 6, I think, in Great American Psyhopper of what planes. And he says basically, you know, he's doing all this work about 9/11, about how it's a great catalyst for libertarian involvement and stuff. And then he meets with Morgan Reynolds, and Morgan Reynolds says, what planes? You know, prove it up. There's no planes, there's no wreckage, blah, blah, blah. And that's what kicks off his whole inquiry. And I relate to that because that was kind of where I was. You know, you're researching all this stuff, and then someone says, no planes. You're like, what the hell? Yeah. There's got to be planes. And then you listen to the arguments, and they win.
And
there's
you just
no,
start looking
there's
at
no
the planes. The trajectories don't match. You got left wings disappearing off planes. And then I want to bring up a point because somebody asked a question in the Facebook chat. I'm going to answer it for him. Lee Earl wrote, I'm down with the idea of no planes. That does make sense. Just bomb it from the inside. That is the logical thing to do. How about people with footage of plane going into the building? Are they all faking? Faking their footage? Yes, they are all faking their footage. Well, the so-called amateur.
How many are there anyway? I've only seen like two or three. Well, anyway, I'm not trying to jump into your thing there, but I'd love to see all the footage there is.
Well,
I mean, besides
the
Hezra Khani, like how many?
No, there's 52
clips.
There's 52.
Are there?
There's 52, and I 52? Can actually give. Yeah, and I can give them all to you. Wow. One clip. I have it all in one clip. It's like a 10-minute clip. But the thing is, when you really start to break down the video, as you know, I did. There'll be multiple shots that are the same shot, just recropped or resumed. And they're taken from the exact same perspective. So you're telling me out of these 52 images that randomly caught the 500-mile jet, well, X, Y, and Z was standing right here with the exact same perspective. And their shots just looked exactly the same, but one was zoomed in better than the other. And that happened over here, and that happened over here. No, those people were in it. And then if you want to go again and look at their fit, if you want to talk about their footage, well, they filmed the plane going in. Well, you even said in the comment, the plane going into the building. Yeah, the plane went into the building like 70% with nothing shearing off, with no hole in the building. And that's just ridiculous. And this even happened in the Nade one. If you watch the Nade one, which is the very less filmed one, it's Flight 11. It's the first strike on the North Tower. There's only a couple videos of it. But if you watch the video that's in the Nade film itself, so the plane strikes the North Tower, right? And then after, when you watch it, it's on fire. There's this big gash to the right, like a wing gash. Well, if you watch the footage, right, it takes 18 seconds for that wing gash to come in, which would obviously be instantaneous because the wing's piercing through the building, right? You watch it get drawn in with like a black tool and some type of, you know, video editing, Photoshop type idea. I mean, you're literally watching it being drawn in. You're being drawn in. It's crazy. And then you got guys like, you know, Kenny Johannes. Hardman and Willie Rodriguez and all these other liars. I mean, you got Kenny Johannemann in the basement of the World Trade Center with Willie. They say they heard an explosion. This is an explosion in the basement story. This is another rabbit trail. They don't care what you believe as long as it has 3,000 deaths and you're not looking into the media fakery and complicity. So what they did is Kenny Johannemann comes out of the World Trade Center, right? So he comes out. He's got an all-white shirt on, like he's working for like a food service company or something. And he's talking to the reporter out in the street, and the towers are behind him. And he's like, yeah, you know, we heard an explosion. And he's talking about him and Willie. And the elevator door opened in the basement, and this guy came out, or he fell out or whatever. He was so covered in blood, so covered because his skin, they said his skin was melting off, so covered in blood. Okay, they thought he had a red shirt on. So Willie and Kenny carried this guy out to the World Trade Center, right? Outside. Kenny gives the street interview, and he's got this pristine white shirt on without a fucking drop of blood on him. He says he just carried a guy out whose skin was melting off, and as he was so red, he thought he had a red shirt on. Pristine white shirt on, given the interview. And then you got Willie and all his story with the magic key that he ran back in with this key that looks like a key to my shed. First of all, a building like that's going to have all key cards. People aren't going to have fucking house keys to it, okay? So the janitor supposedly, they say he ran up and down with the firefighters and unlocked all the doors. More and more problems with that. Why would the fire doors lock everybody in, okay? And then on top of that, when would the firefighters ever let a fucking janitor run up and down inside a burning building with them? They'd be like, dude, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
period.
Right.
I don't care how well you know the building. If you want, here's a walkie-talkie. Help us out. But you're not going in there, bro. And he says it gets better. His story gets better. So he ran from tower to tower, tower to tower. People don't know this. You got to look into the story, okay? He says, and he's called me twice on the phone to tell me how wrong I am about 9/11, right? Don't ask how he got my cell phone number, right? So he's running tower to tower. And then he says, for dramatic, he got trapped inside the caged elevator that started filling with water. Caged elevators were outlawed in 1936, and the towers were built in 76. There were no caged elevators. Then it gets even better. So he runs outside. The towers are about to come down. He dives underneath ladder 12. The tower comes down. They all, you know, hours later, he's the last man out, allegedly. They pull him out of the rubble or whatever because the truck saved him. And then we found ladder 12 parked like four blocks away. Like, it's just it's total nonsense. And I said all this right to his face on the phone. I said it all to him right on the phone. Like, really, how'd you even get my number, bro? And then he's like, blah, 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 blah. And then he's all the stuff he was saying. I'm like, bro, I know your story better than you do. You're not Superman. I know about your caged elevator. And then he called back another time for like 2 hours, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That is completely crazy. My God. It's so absurd. And,
it really is.
And the problem you have as someone who's trying to actually educate people to this is the fact that they really don't have the ears to hear. They don't have the eyes to see. I really don't understand why people who don't care that much about it pursue it enough to harangue people who are trying to share information with them.
Yeah.
But a lot of them do. And I really don't know why, because they're obviously not, it's not like they're open. You know, I've posted probably 1,000 things to 12 different web pages. And I gotta tell you, over the past few years, I can't think of one time someone said, whoa, I gotta tell you, I think you're stupid with your theory. But man, there's some good arguments there. That is really weird. I don't know how to explain it. They never do it, man. They never do it. They never do it.
No, they never do it. They never do it. And then you know, I forget what I was gonna say. Keep going. I forget what I was gonna say.
Me? No. I was done. But actually, on that same note, just to sort of punctuate it a little, to see 9/11 is real. It's very empirically based. It's very scientific. There's physics and all this stuff involved. But there are others, and I'm just using this to make a point about like open-mindedness and stuff. So like a year or so ago that No Forests on on Earth or No Forest on Flat Earth came out. And I have to tell you, like, when I watched it, it was, to me, this was my argument about it. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if it's true. I don't know anything about geology or any of that stuff. All I'm saying, and I posted this on my main Facebook page, which is crazy because, you know, I work and stuff. So I try to keep my main Facebook page very ordinary, right?
Yeah.
But that video in particular was just so like fantastic. It was like Avatar. It was like almost if someone said, this is the biography of how Avatar could happen. I just thought it was fun and interesting. So I posted, I said, look, it's got cool music, beautiful scenery of, you know, all over the earth, mountainscapes, mesas, all this stuff. It has a strange idea about how all this came to be. Whatever. It doesn't have to be true. You know, you don't see people storming out of Avatar saying, it's not true. Fuck you, man. I want my money back. Sorry. I don't mean to scream.
No, it's good.
It's absurd, right? Like, you just think interesting people can have open minds and listen to ideas. When I watched that movie, I thought, this guy is a genius. He created this in his basement. He didn't have Steven Spielberg or $100 million behind him. He just had an idea, created a video, put it on YouTube. Doesn't have to be true. You know what, fuckers? Not everything in the world has to be true. Some things can just be interesting or beautiful or neato, right? And I thought this guy achieved beautiful, interesting, neato. I don't know, true or whatever. But it was cool. And I felt like I was given a gift by being able to watch this interesting idea of why our world looks like it does. And I got to tell you, man, so many of my friends, good friends of mine, they would watch it. They would just be so pissed off. This guy's an idiot. Man, people are weird, man. Like, we're open-minded, and everyone listening to your show is probably open-minded.
Yep.
We got to come to grips with the fact most people aren't, man. Most people are agitated.
Yeah, they are. But yeah, it's like, sorry. No, don't be sorry. It's just like they are agitated, as frustrated as I get. I still have this responsibility in me to try and maybe not wake as many people up as possible, but to get as many people as possible to think for themselves.
Can I give you an example of something that's weird about, I'm going to jump to Flat Earth, okay?
Go ahead.
And I'm hoping this is interesting or edifying to your listeners.
Go ahead.
One thing that I, like, because I have friends of mine all the time come to me, and they're like, yeah, you believe in fucking Flat Earth? That's the stupidest shit. You know, we all know what it is, because everyone knows. And here's my point. I'll hang on days off or whatever. I'll walk through my neighborhood. I'll hang out in my local pub or whatever. I talk to homeless guys in my neighborhood. And you know what everyone knows when you talk to them? They all know, whether they're a homeless guy, a guy who just got divorced and got stripped by his wife, so he's poor, or some guy who's on unemployment. Everyone from the bottom to the top knows the earth is round, and the stupidest thing you can think is that it's flat. So I try to ask my friends, like, you know, if you look at this homeless guy, would you like take advice from him about anything? Like, any knowledge that he holds, would you like assume? Well, you and him think the exact same thing about flat earth. Now, how can that be? You're super educated. He dropped out of middle school.
Yeah.
How does he know as much astronomical reality as you? Right? Like, I mean, there's no other category or field or subject where the street urchin knows as much as the PhD. Mm-hmm. And I find that astounding. And no one I ever present that to ever says, well, that's interesting, you know, because maybe I should second guess my ideas if every idiot believes it. Well, but they don't. Anyway.
On the converse of that, on the flip side of that is the point that I've been bringing up, and this is one of the things that aggravates me most. So you know how I have, like, you know, I got my Facebook group, I got my website, now I got the YouTube going in the last year or so. But, you know, I'd say my Facebook group is probably most media, most people heard my shows on my website. We could say that. And now maybe more people are hearing it on the YouTube or a combination of both or whatever. Here's my problem, okay? These are the problem, the people that irk me. So, you know, I went from 9/11 to, like, Gabby Gifford, Sandy Hook, NASA, satellites, ISS, Flat Earth, Mandela Effect. Those are, like, my big topics, right? But the crazy thing is, yep. even as big as 9/11 is, and then even when I blew Sandy Hook open on the day, and say the people that have respect for me for that, like, they'll follow my shows, they know I'm right, even if they know I'm right about no debt, even just to say no planes, but let's say further, no victims, this, that, and that of 9/11, and they'll be like, wow, Brian's really smart, but when he talks about that flat earth stuff or that Mandela, he's real crazy. How about giving me the respect I deserve? Because I at least helped. Not only was I right about these other topics, but I helped you personally realize these topics. Can you give me respect on the third and the fourth topic to at least look into it?
Well, I completely agree. That sort of respect is exactly what stretched me from one position to the next. From year to year, from subject to subject. And that when I said before, like, I feel bad for the pain you must suffer because you do all this work and then you run into things like that. And I have to say, I'll just punctuate this a little bit. I really am astounded by how difficult it is for ordinary people to embrace flat earth. And the reason I say that is, and I've said this to people. I've sat next to people in cafes or whatever where we've had this argument. It's like, this is a person who has never given a shit enough about cosmology or cosmogony to research it, right? They don't know anything. Yeah, if you ask them, you go to these people, you say, like, well, how far is the moon from the Earth? How far is the sun from the Earth? How fast are we spinning? How fast are we spinning around the sun? These people don't know goddamn thing. They didn't. I don't know. You tell them all the answers. Are they humbled by your knowledge? Do they say, wow, you actually know a lot about this? Maybe. No. They just know it's fucking stupid. And that, to me, is the greatest proof that it's total bullshit.
Yeah.
Because they don't need anything to affirm their ridiculous belief, and they adhere to it regardless of what you present to them. Because, look, this has become a cliche now, and you know this, but, you know, I don't know who first said it. I don't know if it was Eric Dubé or who, but it was like, you know, the difference between a ball earther and a flat earther is a flat earther actually did his homework. You know, I mean, the flat earther knows all the shit. The ball earther just says, fuck you, I'm a ball earther, and you're an idiot.
All they know is how to get triggered. They don't even know their own model. And that's why I hate when they use the word ignorant. It's like, dude, you're going to call me ignorant? Like, you define ignorance, you know? You define ignorance. I've been attacked by so many people today. Get back to 9/11. On my 9/11. Now, granted, I made a lot of public posts with a lot of really good pictures in there for people to share, breaking down different aspects of the hoax from the jumpers to the towers to all different stuff. You know, I got a lot of shares off them, but I got a lot of, you know, people talking a lot of trash. And it's like none of them ever have a point. They just tell me how fucking stupid I am or don't disrespect the dead. Guy, if you're going to let people play the don't disrespect the dead card, then you can't look into fucking anything. So do you believe Sandy Hook is real too because you're telling me not to disrespect the dead on 9/11? You probably don't, but I could just turn around and say it too. Well, don't disrespect the dead. Robbie Park is obviously a stand-up guy just like Mark just like the Holly guy. They're fucking stand-up guys, you know? It's like, come on, man.
Well, see, I guess the thing I've shared a few times to this is I don't do what you do publicly for all these years. I do it privately among friends, and they are so harsh and impervious to reason that I just if you're going to be you, Bri, and do what you do, you really just, man, I mean, God, my best friends will laugh in my face. You have strangers just saying, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you know, that's that's the best it's going to get, because if I can't get my best friends or family to say, wow, that is actually an interesting argument for why the new planes, it's a flat earth, or why, you know, I mean, hey, let me ask you a question. I'm sorry to jump around, but I got to ask this question because I've asked it to 100 people and you're the first like professional theorist, educated person I could ask. And it's not a complicated question. It's kind of stupid, but it's this. What do you think when you think moon landing, JFK, 9/11, right?
See, I think of they're all bullshit,
but they're all filmed. And why do they make sure they show us the film of the shit they're lying to us? I mean, you watch JFK, the guy gets clearly, obviously, shot in his face. And it's like, they're just like, shot in his face. No, it's from the back. It's from the back. No, it's shot in his face. It's from the back. It's why? Why? They don't have to show us that shit. They could cover up all the stuff. Why do they show us lies just to tell us to believe the opposite is true? You know, the building's exploding. They're pancaking. They're obvious. Or, you know, it's all like bullshit.
Yeah.
Why do they want us to see it? It could all happen without us seeing it, right? They could have.
Oh, because the brainwashing the is film much stronger. Go away. The visual brainwashing is much stronger than just if you read it in a newspaper and heard it on the radio. You see it. So even people that are in New York, for instance, let's say, and I'm not saying that everybody is intentionally trying to like be a gatekeeper or a liar. A lot of people do and don't even realize it. But let's just say, not you, but you know, somebody's in New York and they're at a vantage point where if there was a plane, they would have seen it, right? But they missed it because there was no plane. But they go on TV and they're brainwashed. Plane, 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 plane. They see it, see it, see it, see it, see it. And even if it hasn't totally got them to say in their own mind, I believe it, I seen the plane now, when their buddy asks them, hey, you were in New York, did you see the plane? Oh, yeah, I saw the plane. That goes on all the time because they don't want to sound like they missed it. And they know they can just use the excuse, well, if it's a 550-mile-an-hour unexpected jet, I can say I, you know, it's possible that I missed it, and they'll justify it in their head that they missed it, but they'll tell their friends that they've seen it.
What do you think about JFK?
I think, all right, now, this is something I avoided for a while because I didn't have I haven't done enough research on it. I'll give you my opinion. Okay, first, my opinion is the Zapruder film is completely fake. Okay, I think the scenes from the grassy knoll are filmed on a separate day as the film from a motorcade. I have reasons to believe that. Continuity errors, like the size of the people in the background is way too big for the cars in the street. They're not all facing the president. But besides all that, what do I think about JFK? In my opinion, like you said, oh, they make it look like this, they make it look like that. Just like 9/11, they make it look like this theory, that theory. What if the theory is he wasn't shot? And people say that's crazy, he was against this and he was against that. But what if you fake killing a president, it sends out the same message as if you killed him. Just like if you fake killing 3,000 people. Just like if you fake going to the moon. Like, they just fake these things. Do I know for a fact he wasn't killed? No. But if I had to lean towards it, man, do they really need to kill an American president? And not only do they – let's back it up, okay? We – as 9/11 truthers, flat earthers, whatever you are, right, you know that the government is controlled and presidents are puppets at this point. I would hope everybody here knows that. Why the fuck are we going to believe that some guy in the middle, JFK, wasn't controlled? Why aren't we going to believe he was another puppet and they did that as like a thing? Because, hey, even the president could get killed if he stepped out of line. That just keeps everybody else in line.
I completely agree with that. But here's my question. I'm just going to reel it back a little to go out from the broad, just to a very simple question. And this is not a leading thing. I don't have any agenda here and whatever. It's just a question.
Yeah.
When I watched the Zapruder film, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even assuming it's fake, it's real, whatever. It's so, to me, and maybe I'm an idiot, to me, it just, even as a little kid when I watch it, to me, it's so obvious he shot in the fucking face. He shot in the face. and it blows out the back of it, you know? So why would they make a movie that's so obvious of a guy getting shot in the face or from the front, and then they just keep telling you it's from the back, it's from the back? I mean, it almost feels like they're trying to just get you to believe the opposite of what you see. Now, your theory that he wasn't even killed and that it's a fake movie is more interesting. So why would they make the movie to look like he shot in the face if they're going to tell you he shot in the back of the head?
Because the same reason why they would okay, for instance, in my opinion, I think the collapse footage from 9/11 is also fake, at least of the Twin Towers. Yeah. I'm not sure about Tower 7. And now what did that do? That got everybody talking about, oh, well, the building can't come down at free fall speed, and buildings don't come down from the top down, right? Except on 9/11.
Right.
Well, they didn't come down from the top down or at free fall speed on 9/11. It just did on TV. But what did that do? That spawned theories like mini nukes, like Judy Woods dustifying the towers. So they showed you this alternative angle of what you should believe on TV, because it spawned all these other theories. And then it's building your foundation off a false premise, and you're never going to get to the story that way. Just like how they tell you you live on a spinning earth and it's flat and stationary, and every lie is built off of that, you know?
Yeah. I want to ask you one other question.
Sure.
And it's about this, because we're so on the same page with everything, but here's my question about the total a question about total CGI, meaning the Twin Tower, because there's different theories, and one theory is like the Ace Baker theory is everything we see is real except for the planes. And then there's like Simon Shack, who goes a step further and says it's all fake. I don't know if he does that, but I think he does.
No, he does. And Ace Baker's idea is video compositing. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that is all composite. So the only, and you know what? You know, I listen to you, I listen to Simon, and it's very compelling. I know Sandy Hook, I'm on board with all that. The questions that I've always had about total CGI of the buildings is just that, as far as I know, I don't live there. But as far as I know, can't people from New Jersey and all these places see those buildings? Like, wouldn't they have seen the real ordinary demolition and then watch television and think, well, wow, that building looks like it exploded, but the other building just went straight down. I mean, wouldn't there be a break?
Okay, but first of all, they're far away. Second of all, there's going to be, because they're across the Hudson River, right? And anybody that's close in New York is going to be obstructed by really high skyscrapers that you can't even look up and over. That's why it's the perfect place for the soaks. So now we're talking about the people across the Hudson River again, and we're also talking about the same people that would have missed the South Plain. Well, if they see the buildings actually come down, and they come down at the times they were told, but they were just slightly different looking or a little bit different looking than they did on TV – are they really going to go and tell everybody, hey, it didn't look exactly like it did on TV? Or are they going to say, hey, I saw the towers come down?
Well, okay. All right. I'm just, I agree with what you're saying. The only thing I'd want to ask is, see, missing the plane, like that seems kind of, you know, it's like people are walking around and all of a sudden there's an explosion. And, you know, there are lots of folks, or at least one or two who were filmed, who said, I didn't see a plane. I just saw the explosion. But you would think people like in New Jersey and stuff watching the towers come down, it's one thing if they fall like Building 7. It's another if they're exploding and creating all this dust and shit like, you know, that we see. And then Judy Wood takes all these pictures of all this empty stuff. Now, it's interesting because the emptiness can be explained two ways. Judy Wood says it's energy weapons. The other explanation, which you've forwarded and is very interesting, is The buildings were empty to begin with. There's nothing to film.
The stuff wasn't vaporized with this fucking weapon that we don't even know about. It wasn't vaporized. The stuff wasn't even in there. That's why there's a lack of contents.
That's very interesting.
I said to her, Judy, if it got vaporized by your weapon, right? If it got vaporized by your weapon and all the contents are vaporized, right? What is it so special about paper that we saw all this paper flying through the air? Why didn't that get vaporized? She had no answer for that. It's all for show.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, I thought one of the things in her book and one of the things she tried to say was, an anomaly or a weird aspect of where did the buildings go is they disappeared, but like all the concrete and the office furniture disappeared, but the paper didn't. She was like, you know, the trees still have leaves, but everything around them is burned.
She said, because the paper's conductive. That's what she told me. The paper's a great conductor. I'm like, what? Since when? And, right? I mean, when I think of conducting something, I don't think I use a paper. But yeah, they had all this paper flying through the air, you know? I mean, you got passports that don't burn, but you got all Judy's wooden papers like to make it look like this busy office. But where's the thousands of miles of phone cord? Where's the like 10,000 refrigerators? Where's the 13,000 safes? Where's all the doors? Where's all the computer mainframes? Where is all the shit? And you look at the debris pile, and it looks like an apartment building that's like three fucking stories tall came down. And it's ridiculous, dude. And then people talk about how all the debris got shipped out. Well, it's not because necessarily they were shipping out all these huge beams hiding the evidence. They were hiding evidence, but there wasn't that much debris to ship out in the first place.
Yeah. That's crazy. Craziness.
Yeah, it is craziness, and it's still – I can't believe after this long there's still so many people that, you know, believe – not just believe the official story, I mean, but even amongst those truthers, there's so many that still believe in airplanes, and there's so many that won't even look at the angles that I'm talking about. And, you know, at first I understood, oh, we're going to talk about this terror event being fake and they're not going to believe me, but I would still try. But you would think after Sandy Hook – and Pulse and Aurora and all these fake shootings where I know that the majority of these people know these shootings are fake, you could think they could retroactively look back and say, hey, well, what about 9/11? But they don't do that.
They don't do that at all. Jesus Christ. You know, the other day, this is just an anecdotal thing, so it doesn't really mean much, but the other day, a friend of mine posted something to Facebook about it was like a meme, and it said this. It said, "There is no room on social media for lies like Sandy Hook, or you know." And it was something else. And I was like, "Man!" So I texted the person privately or messaged them, and I was like, "Do you really think these people should be silenced? I mean, have you ever looked into Sandy Hook or?" Any of these things, maybe they have good arguments and you don't even know. And they just responded immediately. They're like, this is a matter of empirical facts. It's not a matter of opinion.
And then you ask what facts and they don't have any.
A person who's never spent 5 minutes looking in the Sandy Hook, who knows already that what they've seen on TV is the empirical fact, and any evidence to the contrary is not only like a lie, but a malicious lie that deserves no airspace on social media. Now, this person, knowing that I have a fondness for flat earth, I just said to them, just to sort of goad the situation, do you think flat earthers deserve space on flat earth? Because that's not true, right? And she kind of kissed ass and was like, no, they should, whatever. But she was just being nice to me. She really thought, no, they don't. And so my point is, there's a lot of people out there today who basically think that we should not be allowed to talk about this stuff because it's lies and untrue and it's corrupting whatever kind of society they think exists. Isn't that crazy? And why would Americans endorse such a insane censorship policy?
You know why? the media influence on them. It because the subliminal mock to get you to mock Flat Earth, 9/11 truth is like, it's very thick to mock the 9/11 truth is. I mean, you know, on all the major talk shows, the morning talk shows, the radio shows, I mean, they just ridicule 9/11 truth is, and they have been for years. And that's what, how these people, that's how these people, that's just, they think that that's how it is. Like, they just believe the media. They believe what they're told. They believe, you know, like, you're told Flat Earth is stupid when you were a kid. And they just never looked at it. I'm going to tell you something. When I first looked at it, because everybody will say they laughed at it at first, I didn't laugh at it. I'm not going to say I believed it right when I looked at it, but when I first looked at it, it was a long time ago. This was over 4 years ago. This was early 2014 when I first looked at it. And what it was a hit piece. And it said, oh, it was like 4 minutes long. And it made some dumb things there. You could fall off the edge, all this shit, right? But it said, in the beginning, it said, you know, I believe in photo fakery, and I know photos can be faked. He said, but, you know, Flat Earth is, they believe all of NASA's photography are fake. And I'm just like, I can buy that. Sign me up. You know what I mean? And then I kept looking more, and I started looking in. Yeah, I stumbled into the GPS issues because I had already debunked satellites and the ISS. So I started looking at the GPS. I started thinking, okay, the planes in the southern hemisphere are going out because they don't have the range from the ground towers and it's not really satellites. But then you start to look and the northern hemisphere is not doing the same. So then you just, you know, I had to put all the pieces together back then, you know, and it is just a lot of people that they just won't do that. They won't look at anything that goes against what they're told. And it, the crazy thing about the about some of these events is it's like, we could talk about 9/11. We could talk about Flat Earth, NASA, moon landing. They want you to just take all your senses and throw them out the window, especially your common sense. Like, dude, if you had a box cutter, you couldn't fucking carjack me for my skateboard.
No shit, man. See, that all right, two comments. One regarding your first experience with Flat Earth. I want to say mine. Mine's like between yours and the traditional one. Which is, I remember, because I was into 9/11 and all that, and I saw the Flat Earth stuff. I remember watching, I watched the first Eric Dubé video. It was like an hour and 13 minutes all the way through. And at the end, it wasn't like, I was like, oh, I remember distinctly, I walked into work, and I told a friend of mine, who was like a friend I could confide in, I said, like, man, I watched a video last night about Flat Earth. And I think it might be fucking true. And I was excited and happy. And the person was like, you got to be kidding. I was like, I'm telling you, the guy had arguments. I don't know if they're true. That was before I even, you know, because after you see that, then you start driving your car and you're just looking off into the distance. What do planes look like when they disappear? Well, you go to the beach. What do boats look like when they disappear? What's the world look like? What do towers look like when they're 12 miles away from you? Then you learn, you know, you learn the curvature arithmetic, and you start doing math, and you're like, I think these fuckers might be right. And, you know, I've never had any shame or weirdness about that. I just kind of keep my mouth shut, but because I know other people do. But when I can tell people safely in safe situations, like, you know, strangers in a restaurant or whatever, I share the stuff. And if they resist, you know, the first thing I tell them is, look, let me just say something to you. I'm going to whisper it into your ear as a friend. I got no benefit to tell you this. There's nothing in it for me. I'm just sharing an idea. I just want you to hear it. Okay. And you know what people will do? They'll say, all right, I kind of want to hear it. And I just say, look, the earth is flat. And every experience you've ever had, every vision, everything you've ever seen, everything you've ever touched, everywhere you've ever stood, it's flat and motionless. And the only thing that's ever told you different is a movie or a teacher or a book or authority. And there's no reason to believe it. You can whatever. Because see, the thing I see it as, we're all free people walking around the world. Unless you're an astronomer or, you know, like Harvard is paying you or Neil deGrasse Tyson is saying this shit, you're a free individual person in this world. Why do you have some kind of bizarre emotional commitment to some sort of astronomical theory? I mean, you don't give it. You never gave a shit enough about it to study for your sixth grade test. Why do you care about it now? And I just hope that a handful of those people like think about it when they're driving their car or on their plane or doing whatever they're doing, because there's nothing except textbooks or authorities that are ever going to tell you you're on a spinning ball flying through a void. Nothing. You're never going to. Right?
Nothing.
You hear me, man. I know you know what I'm saying is true.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing they've ever experienced in their life. And not only that, if they weren't, you know, indoctrinated to believe they live on a spinning ball that curves and all this shit, they would never grow up and come to that assumption.
Nobody ever. Would ever. You have ever. To be taught it. That's why they say, like, I like Eric Dubé's thing where he says, you know, I don't believe I live on a flat earth. I perceive I live on a flat earth. You believe you live on a spinning ball because you have to believe it, because nothing you'll ever experience will tell you that fact.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We're in a crazy, crazy world.
Yeah, it is crazy.
I gotta go to bed, Bri, because I gotta go to work tomorrow and walk around with a bunch of drones who think Arabs took down the towers and they're living on a spinning ball.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Crazy. Well,
hey, I had the best time ever talking to you.
Yeah,
and you
man,
are you're an intellectual hero to me. So I hope your listeners respect and understand the history you have in all these ideas.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. I really do.
All right. I will call in to another show. Thank you so much for entertaining this conversation.
I will, buddy. We're usually on Saturdays. I don't usually have a set time, but usually around 3 or 4 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays we do it. So.
All right. This was the best, bro. A real moment for me.
Awesome.
You're a hero
awesome.
Of mine. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for saying that. I think he's off the line now. All right, guys. Thank you, everybody, by the way, for tuning in. I just threw this together. I didn't have any show prep. I told people I might do a show today, and then 5 minutes before I got on the air, I'm like, I'm just going to go live. I'm going to go live. I got some shit to say. And if anybody else wants to call in, because I'm probably wrapping up a little bit. It's been almost 2 hours. But if anybody wants to call in, or if you guys want me to address any other 9/11 points, 9/11 questions, add them here in the YouTube chat, please. It's a little hard for me to view the Facebook chat and the YouTube chat at the same time. I don't think there's any questions in the Facebook one anyways. Anybody in the chat have any questions? So what we're doing tonight, we're talking about 9/11. Obviously, it's the 9/11 anniversary. What's changed? What hasn't? We had a great caller. I just wanted to put something quick together for you guys. I wanted to get you guys to think a little bit. Think about things like killing 3,000 versus faking killing 3,000, not dealing with the guilt, not having the families coming after you, and participation in future hoaxes. If you know they're killing actual Americans, well, you're going to have less and less people that are willing to participate. I hate the government. You hate the government. But most of the Americans in the government aren't, you know, the bad upper echelon people, they're going through their jobs. And these cops and firemen and FBI agents and whoever else would be have to be involved in something like this, they're not all going to go along with it if 3,000 Americans and some of their brothers and sisters and comrades are going to die. They're just not going to do it. And then when you start to look into the evidence, please check out my YouTube channel. If you're already listening here on my YouTube, just go to my page. You're on my backup, actually. Just go to my main page, Brian S. Stavely. I'll link it in the show descriptions, okay? And if you go there and you hit our 9/11 shows, I'll walk you through 9/11 from 2010 all the way up to now. I got like 30 shows, all the interviews he spoke of, all the stuff you could want to hear in depth about everything. But with that, guys, I'm probably going to wrap it up tonight. I want to thank you guys. It is getting late. It's about 2:30 in the morning. You've been listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely. My YouTube channel is Brian S. Stavely, and my backup YouTube channel, where this stream is streaming live now because I'm still on a 90-day YouTube ban, is The Real News Online on YouTube. So thank you, everybody. Be sure to check out my show that we just did Saturday, completely debunking the absurdity of the ISS, and we did our top 10 Mandela effects. It's on both channels. Just it's the newest upload on both. So if you're on this channel already on YouTube, just go to the page and go to videos, and it'll be right there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Try and tune back in on Saturday. We'll have another show. Not sure what the topics are about again. And I might be doing an interview tomorrow night with a friend of mine, Courtney Jasmine, and we're going to do his awakening interview. That's planned for tomorrow. I think it's 100%. But if not, I'll see you guys on Saturday. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And happy 9/11 anniversary. And I'll be glad to answer any questions. If you guys want to do follow-up, you guys want to send me questions, I will be hitting the sack soon. But I have tomorrow off. We can do questions. We can do another call. We can do whatever. We'll figure it out. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Appreciate it. Have a good night.